Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from Monday Nights, our local community gathering. If you want to be a part of it and you live in the Southern California area, you are invited. Or if you don't live here but you want to join us online at crmovement.com/gatherings. Hope you enjoy the message. Thank you, Zach. Looking powerful tonight with that backwards hat. Guys, I got to warn everybody, there's a trifecta of things happening to me right now. Number one, that worship was crazy. How can we act like that was normal? I don't even know what was happening. Alex like just became one with the cymbals. They were just like, I just was transported. Where is Alex Nelson at? Where is he? There he is. Can we give it up for Alex Nelson? Okay. Number two, for whatever reason, you have nights where you can't fall asleep, but there's no discernible reason why. That was me last night. I went to sleep at 5:30 a.m., and I tried to sleep. I was using Bible app. I was using boring sermons. I did everything, and it did not knock me out, and I don't know what's going on. So I only got a few hours of sleep, which is great because that means that I say crazier stuff on accident. You know what I'm talking about? When you hang out with your friends really late in the night and it's really fun at like 10 o'clock. And then at midnight, it just starts getting goofy. And then 2 a.m, you're like, look at the wall. Just lose it. You don't even know where. Yeah, it's just delusion from lack of sleep. That might be contributing. Lastly, guys, the send. Guys, I've been working on this gathering with, I'm just a part of the team. But we have been working on this gathering since COVID started. Think about that. We have been believing for Kansas City. We have held the reservation for the stadium. We've had to move it 2 times because of all the COVID things. And now it is only 2 weeks away. Guys, the stadium is filling up. Tickets are like going crazy. The field's already, we didn't even put the tickets available to the public for the field. We just made it available to young people who volunteered to mobilize across the nation, and it's already packed out. There are no more, it's going to be full. It's going to be crazy. So here's the deal. If you cannot afford to go, you need to consider road tripping there. If you cannot road trip there, or you sense that you are not fit to drive that long, right? Your driving skills are a little sketchy. You can ask your friends, say, do you fear for your life when I drive? If they hesitate, you know it's true. Maybe go for the live stream. But you at least got to host a watch party live stream, because here's the deal, is the send is all about activation. It is not just a Christian conference with messaging. The whole point, the only reason we do the send is because we are believing for another wave of missionaries to go to the nations, missionaries to go to universities, missionaries to go to high schools, university students to be missionaries to their universities, high schoolers to be missionaries to their high schoolers. We're believing for the resolve of the global orphan crisis in one generation. We're believing for every foster kid to be adopted in America. We're believing for a generation to fall in love with the word, fall in love with fasting and prayer, and believe for revival in this generation. That's the only reason that we're doing it. It's all about next step. It's not a hype gathering. We built this whole custom app, all designed to help you find an action to take. So if you have wondered what your purpose is, the send is designed to help you find your purpose. If you've been wondering how can you reach this generation, the send is designed to help you know how to reach this generation. And so this is what I want to say is last year I got to be, or the last one, which was in, I think 2018, which is a crazy thought. I was in Orlando, about 50, almost 60,000 people there in a stadium. Can you imagine that? It was crazy. I mean, we sang Let It Rain and it spontaneously started raining. I mean, you can't make that up. That's like crazy stuff. That's like conference mode on fire. I mean, that's just, right? And what was so insane was that the testimonies of those in person. We have a friend to this day, a circuit rider, who was so debilitated she'd have to be in a wheelchair or this plastic brace. It was like an armor plate. You can imagine, just held her whole body up, get instantaneously fully healed. She's married today. No sign of any of this pain in her body. She'd battled it for years. Thought she was going to be restricted to a wheelchair her whole life, instantaneously healed in a moment in the stadium. My mom, who was sick for over 30 years with neurological Lyme's disease, which if you understand autoimmune disease and Lyme's disease, it's incurable. There's no way around. It's basically a death sentence of being bedridden the rest of your life with no hope. Instantly healed in a moment, even though every doctor says it's impossible. Guys, that's not including the people who got radically set free. This may freak you out. Some of you just kind of like, whoa, is that real? It's real. There's photos of it. There were screams. It was so intense. People who had cut themselves all throughout their younger years. There was a man who prayed that the Lord would remove all the shame of their past. This person was carrying profound shame about cutting themselves. They looked down after worship and hundreds of scars had disappeared all over their arms. Not to mention that people got their calling in there and now today in the nations doing missions. Today on their university seeing God move in salvation. People who left that gathering and said, I'm going to start a club at my high school, and then went and started a Jesus club on their high school. People who stepped up and actually have a bigger family because they adopted. Right? These aren't believed for. These are things that have happened. So what is God going to do? I hope that stirs your faith. I think it's important to note when something out of the ordinary is going to happen. And so there are moments. Bill Johnson says this, and I actually appreciate this and agree with this, is he said that wherever revival is, you should have that hunger to go out and be in that environment. Sometimes there are things that happen in our own lives and where we all are, we're waiting for God to come to us, but sometimes He invites you with a supernatural hunger to go out of your way into a new environment to receive something from God. I can't tell you how many times I've done that, but how many times God has met me in a profound way I wouldn't have had if I just stayed where I was and did life as normal. So I hope I challenge you for a moment tonight to maybe think about coming. Amen. All right. Guys, we're gonna start a new series this week, and I'm super excited about it because there are so many people here, and we don't even know you. Like, this is kind of awkward. Like, this used to just be our community, right? Like, our missionary meeting, like, hey, guys, how's work going? Like, how's the university? And then a bunch of people, you got to remember, this was in our garage with an acoustic guitar. Just our training night, just woo, right? And they were like, yo, we should just open it up to the public. And, you know, a few of our friends that are always on universities that we go to gatherings with, maybe they'll come. And then a few started coming. And then a few years down the line, now, like, here we are. All of you are here. And I'm like, hi, I'm Nick. I help lead Circuit Riders. You may not even know what that is, but here we are. We're all here together. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to slow down the car. We wanted to have a culture series. And we want to bring you into the core cultures of Circuit Riders. We want to talk about what is the bread and butter, what is at the core of the Circuit Rider heart, what is the core of our ministry. And it's not going to be like going over a vision document. We're going to talk about the culture of Jesus. And you're going to sense a little tone shift because we're all about training and activation. We've been doing a lot of expositing, a lot of teaching, a lot of explaining, but we want to get into activation because here's what we believe. We believe that you have a calling and a purpose on your life and that your calling and your purpose is not just to come, listen, and learn and have a conversation once in a while with someone around a bonfire once a year at that one work party. You know what I mean? It's more than that. God has a bigger calling for you than that. He has intention for your life, something that you, I don't even think, are imagining what God could do. I know certainly right now at 30, I was not thinking this at 20. And for every single person in here, God has that kind of future in mind. But following Jesus is an active sport. Right? It's not just a learning sport, it's an active sport. And it's interesting because our environment really shapes us. And so we have this emphasis on culture. I don't know if you've ever experienced culture before. Have you ever walked into a party, good party, you know, root beer float party, all right? You walk into the root beer float party, I gotta give so many disclaimers these days. And you're like, yeah, I did last week. No, no. Just wait till the end. There's hope for you, right? No, like you walk into the root beer float party, right? And it's just really down. Like you ever walk into a boring, depressed environment. And like the small talk and like people's voices are so quiet, it's almost hard to hear. It's like, how's your week, man? How's it going? Go ahead. And you're like, what? You know, it's like, what is happening? And then that one kid from your high school, your college, your friend group comes in who doesn't need to be introduced because he is a living introduction, right? He walks in, it's a sitcom, the clap track comes on, and he's like, yo, what up, everybody? And everyone just looks at him, and then that's only a sign. If there's silence, that he needs to go even crazier. I said, what's up, everybody? Who wants to jump in the ocean with all our clothes on? Come on, Johnny. No. Come on, Johnny. And they end up carrying Johnny down to the beach and throwing him into the ocean, right? Right? Culture. It's funny how we feel it everywhere we go. It's like, why do we say we go into environments like it's so heavy in here? Oh, so heavy. What is it about all of us that we can feel our environment? It's like we can know kind of the unsaid rules of an environment. And so in the same way, Jesus carries a culture. California carries a culture, doesn't it? Like, sometimes like I walk around in California, I'm like, oh man, am I looking good today? I'm not sure. Oh, wait, no, I'm fine. Like, there's this different vibes. I mean, you go into Newport Beach, you just feel poor. You just feel poor when you go over there. You're like, does everybody own a Mercedes? That's like their version of Kia. It's like, yo, first car, S-Class, right? You go to Huntington Beach, you feel a little bit better. You feel even better in Costa Mesa. You're feeling a lot better in Westminster. And then you don't even really know what's beyond that. Everything beyond that, you're good to go, right? Like, have you ever experienced... right? Isn't this kind of accurate? Isn't it kind of true? It's like each place you go, there is this culture. Well, our generation has a culture. Do you know that? Like a strong culture. You just gotta go on TikTok and you realize the culture real quick in the comment section. Like there's a culture of strange distorted noises for Gen Z. Like literally, like my brother makes strange distorted noises with his mouth. He emulates them. And it just is amazing, it's powerful and special. But like there's just different little things that make you you. There's different little things that you value, right? A culture is made up of beliefs and values and traditions. And together, all those things shape you. My wife is Sicilian, right? She's American, but all of her family comes from Sicily. Her dad is the first non-Sicilian man to marry into the family. So this is how strong the culture is. If you've ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, okay, and like, you know, like when they come in, it's very cultural, right? It's a cultural experience. I knew that, you know, Italian was a thing, right? Like I'm from like Washington State. I'm like Cheerios, that's Italian. You know, like I'm like, you know, pesto sauce, that's Italian. Presto red sauce, that's Italian. The first time I walked into their house, literally someone was like, Nikki, ran over, kissed me on the cheek, handed me bread. They were literally making sauce. They were arguing about how the sauce was going to be together. And I saw one other guy that was kind of like me that was not Italian. And he just looked at me and winked. Like he just like, you're on your own, buddy. I got baptized into the Italian culture. And I love it today. They've won me over. I've claimed myself to be Italian. And so as you follow Jesus, though, he wants to bring you into his culture. There's this really interesting, these two sociologists, they did this massive study of teenagers across the nation. This was in earlier 2000s, but it's so crazy how it's still today. These thoughts have just developed. You hear them all the time in culture. And they what they examined was, what are your religious beliefs? And there was five core religious beliefs that they found that the younger generation all held in value and could summarize how they viewed the world. And here they are. Number one, they said, there is a God, he exists, and he created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. Like, we all hear that, right? You go up to LA, they say things like the universe and manifesting stuff and the higher power, right? And then maybe Orange County, like, yeah, God is real. Like, you know, just different languages, but they're all kind of saying there's someone up there. He's watching over us. Number two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and by most religions. Okay, yeah, that's right. Kind of that tolerance vibe. You know, everyone, be nice, be loving, give hugs, accept everybody. That's pretty strong. I see that everywhere. Three, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Right? Like, I could preach a message right now that some of us would believe is like the Christian message. Just accept yourself. Give yourself a hug. Jesus is hugging you. And some of you are like, amen. No, not amen. So there are some things that you should not hug, right? There are some things that you should not accept. There are some things you want, you know, bad breath, right? You don't want to accept. Number four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. Right? Isn't that kind of funny? Like, a lot of people, God is like this abstract idea. He's watching over me. I pray. I'm like, what do you pray? I've never prayed. Okay, that's what, yeah, you prayed once. You prayed once. Okay, you pray, God, you're there. That's not, there's more to that than that. You know what I'm saying? And so they kind of have this idea, but then all of a sudden their life is in trouble and God becomes incredibly personal and there. God, I need you right now. I love you. I worship you. I recommit myself to you. You are the one. You are the only. I will give you all my days, right? And then life is good. And you're like, yeah, God's just up there. He's chilling. We're good. We got our own understanding. How many of you have said these things? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have heard someone else say them? Raise your hand. Okay, a few of you. Some of you don't talk to others. All right, number five, I'm sorry, I didn't sleep. Good people go to heaven when they die. Kind of right, just as long as you're pretty much good, you're gonna go to heaven. And so we kind of carry this abstract view of who God is, and we kind of live our life and we have beliefs. And when we talk about surrender, which is what we're gonna talk about tonight, the culture of the surrendered life, we kind of think that the culture of surrender is the moment where I say, is God the Lord of your life? And you're like, no, he's not. Ah. And then you run to the front and you pray and you go, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. But then you go back and you live exactly the same. Right? That's not a rebuke. I can say it to myself, right? We all do it. It's something that we all do. And so now I want to talk about practically, what does it look like to live out a life that is surrendered to Jesus? Right? The whole point is not going to make you feel guilty. Like, is God in control of every single detail? If I preach that sermon, we're all going to be convicted. There is certainly somewhere in your life in some kind of nook and cranny where you could give God more leadership. But tonight I want to teach you the way, the culture of how do you live a life submitted to God. See, I think a lot of times what happens is we don't really like the idea of surrender as Americans. Just think of our history. We will not surrender, right? It's like literally every year, it's a new movement about, we will not give in. Like, it's just American. And if you travel the world, everyone knows it's like an American thing. Like, ah, that's what the Americans do. No, we will not join in. We are our own people. You know, it's like, it's deeply embedded into our culture. But what we do like is to be inspired. What we do like is to add beliefs to our learn things, like learn like advice. We kind of like Holy Spirit Tony Robbins. That's kind of what we want. We like good advice, models for leadership, fancy insights. Like, we even like things that rhyme. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. The weight of wonder will work when you wait. You're like, what is happening? You know, just like, but like someone's like, oh, that's good. Let me write that down right now. Like, we get obsessed with like, that was crazy, right? But none of that has to do with surrender. None of that has to do with following Jesus. We think today that Christianity is about holding a certain set of beliefs. That is not what Christianity is about. Because James tells us that even demons believe the basic doctrines of Christianity. They know that Jesus is God. They know all that. That's why they're rebelling and working against him, right? Christianity is to follow Christ. Can we flip open the scriptures together? Mark 1, 17 through 19. And it said, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. This right here is the essence of the Christian life. It is that Jesus came in human form. That's what's crazy. The Christian life is not following an abstract idea of who God is. It's that God became flesh and said, follow me. I have shown you exactly what I meant when I meant to make you in the first place. What it means to be human, I have demonstrated for you, and I'm looking at you saying, follow me. See, Christianity is so much more up into our grill than we usually like. Like, how many of you ever get sensitive when people start digging too much into your personal life? How many of you have ever talked to someone, you're asking them questions, they go, what are you interviewing me? How many of you have had this moment? Only me. All right, so like, maybe it's the way, like, what's your top five talents? You know, like, maybe, never mind, okay. Right, it's this idea we don't really like, but the Jesus of the Bible, the Christian God, is a God who comes and sets up life right next to you, looks you in the eyes and says, come and follow me. I'm gonna show you how to live. I'm gonna show you how to believe. I'm gonna show you what to believe. I'm gonna show you what to value, and I'm gonna show you how to live. That's the culture of surrender, and something in us kind of bucks at that. Like, I kind of have my own nuanced belief. And now Jesus is like, no, don't go there. Well, I got my own kind of way of coming at it. And he's like, no, I actually showed you. And the invitation to the Christian life is the invitation to imitate Christ. Right? Your highest goal of Christianity is not to try to feel close to God and believe certain things. The highest goal of Christianity is to become like Jesus, to follow him and to be his ambassador here and show everyone else what it looks like. So can we keep going for a moment? Don't be too convicted, all right? It's all gonna be okay. Let's go to John 10:10. Let's flip over to John 10:10 really quick. John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is not calling us to obey him for some arbitrary reason. Follow me because I said so. No, his intention for you following him in all of your life is to lead you to the abundant life. And the abundant life is not super giant house, Ferrari, all those things. People have those things and are super empty. The abundant life can have those things for sure. There are people that have those things that have abundant life, but it's because they find their fulfillment in Christ. See, the abundant life is the life made fully alive. Do you ever see a Christian, like someone that's maybe a little more closer to God, and just always full of joy? It's like they just have energy bounding all the time. They're always positive. They're always having a breakthrough. They're always having a testimony. That is what life abundant looks like. The life where you look forward to getting up in the morning. You're like, what is God gonna do today? That sense of wonder in life, that is life abundant. And we know this, like we all just worship Jesus for a while. That was pretty crazy, wasn't it? And I was looking across the room and some of you like really were into it. I mean, just like, like birthing pains. I mean, it was intense, right? You were worshiping. We had the fist pumpers. We had the rockers. I'm a little more of a sidestepper sometimes, a little aerobic. You know, it's just how I express it, right? Some of you are kind of getting into the culture of how we kind of worship with freedom, and this was where you're at today. It's all right. You're just like, you know, I saw something by the end of the set. You're just full blown. You had one hand up. You're like, this is it, man. I've arrived. This is heaven, right? And it's so easy when you're in that moment of worship, right, to get enraptured into the goodness of God. God, you are so good. Oh, you're so close. And we get addicted to that feeling, that emotional experience, that moment of trust where we're surrendering for a moment to who God really is and believing everything the scripture says about him, saying, no, you are worthy of being lifted higher. You are the best. You are so good. Oh, I love your love and I love you so much, right? We do so well in that moment. But the God of that moment in worship is the same God who's going to meet you tomorrow at 8 a.m. and show you how to love everyone at your work. The same God that you experienced there is the same God who's trying to tell you what your life direction is and you're afraid to surrender it to him. See, God is so worthy of trusting, but there's something inside of us that resists trust. And now here's where the Bible gets a little wild. Is it just basically tells us facts that we don't want to know about ourselves? But sometimes when you acknowledge the truth, you get so much clarity. You get so much freedom, even though it might be a little bit hard to hear. So this is how we deal with areas that convict us in our life. And we don't want to always have like super heavy talks. And so we have this culture in Circle Riders called joyful repentance. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, joyful repentance. Look at your other neighbor and say, joyful repentance. Look at someone behind you and say, you need some joyful repentance. Right? Because I don't know what kind of church you grew up in. Some churches don't really talk about repentance very much. They don't really talk about sin. Some churches, all they talk about is sin. And kind of every time you hear about sin, you just think about weeping at the altar at youth camp. But right, every time that you need to repent in life, you can't create an altar call moment like that. And the truth is that repentance is joyful. How many of you, when you have trusted God, your life was better? Right? So then we're like, oh man, I'm not trusting you, God. It's true, God. You know, it's just like, whoa, I love that. That's amazing. A little bit strange, though, if you have roommates. So, right? There he goes. He got convicted. That was a good quiet time, right? So, but if we're all acknowledging that it's better to follow Christ, if we're all acknowledging that there's so much more joy when we're trusting him, then it should be joyful to walk away from the things that are stealing and killing and destroying in our life. Have you ever seen an ugly dog? I have. Buck teeth, crazy. There was a dog I met on tour. It wouldn't die. I'm convinced it was 100 years old. It had this crazy wheeze. Like that, that's how it breathed. And it had this crazy scar on its head because the owner ran it over in their own driveway. And to make matters worse, the dog was so dumb. I don't know if that's mean to say. I don't think the dog has feelings. That they would put an electric shock collar on it and it would run across the fence and just take it. So it would just sprint around the neighbor, just like, zzz, zzz, just keep going. It's a true story. It lived right outside the bedroom I was staying out on tour. So every night I'm like falling asleep to you. Oh, I think I just got healed. But then at night, it would come in, the dog would come over to the owner and just kind of hold it and just pet this dog. And just be, I'd be looking at it just like, what is there? Dude, you need a new dog. just I don't know, I'm not saying like put it down. Just let it go. Just take that collar off and just let it be free. Just let him go into his destiny. And we'd be there and the host home leader would, the lady that was hosting us, she'd always watch My Million Pound Life? You know what I'm talking about? Like 700 pound people, and it's totally fine, but it was so depressing. It was basically his doctor saying the whole time, you're gonna die, you're gonna die. And they're like, anyway, it was super depressing. Don't watch the show. But I'm just sitting there questioning why I'm on tour, everything about my life, and I'm looking over there, and I'm like, what is happening? But that is what it looks like to hold on to sin. And I'm like, hey, bro, give me that dog. And you're like, I love this sorrow. I love this cynicism. This bitterness is my favorite. Oh, tonight I'm going to rant again on TikTok. Right? Whatever it is. So you're like, oh man, I got convicted. No, it's okay. Remember, joyful repentance. And so there's this joy when you take that dog, metaphorically, never, PETA, never in the physical, but mentally, you take that dog and you just kick that dog out of your life. Right? And then you turn and you walk. So as we get into this, a little bit about what the Bible's telling us, we gotta go in with a little bit of joy in our heart. You're not unique. You are unique, but you're not unique. You know what I mean? Like, the Bible's true for all of us. Like, the Bible, like, here it is. Ready? This is a summary of it. We have sin. We believe the sin. We need to get free of the sin and believe God. That's basically what I'm going to say for the next 20 minutes. So as we all go, then I'll be like, oh, man, it's true, Nick. Speaking in my heart, man. It's like a laser, like an arrow, like a dagger. Like a high-powered sniper rifle, to the leg, the knee, the heart. No, just go, hey, me too, let's get rid of it. Let's deal with it. Is this helpful? Let's look at a couple verses here. The heart, this is a real pick-me-up. This is Twitter-worthy for you tonight. The heart is a steep... The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:9. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So you're like, so true. Yeah. Okay. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two sources are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. Galatians 5:16-17. See, a part of realizing, of walking into the cultures of Jesus, is realizing you have a free will. You were saved by grace. But God is now not going to overpower you and make you follow him and give every aspect of your life. He wants you to cooperate with him in that process. So meaning Jesus, how many of you ever felt like you woke up early in the morning and you felt like you're supposed to read your Bible? Let's have an altar call right now. Let's just go for it. Okay, that's pretty good. All right. How many of you have ever, never mind, read the Bible? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so... Right, you felt that urge, I should get up right now, I should read the Bible, and you hit the snooze button and went back to bed. Right, I've done it so many times, right? God is not gonna force me to hang out with him and read the word. God is gonna woo me to read the word. God is gonna love me to wanna read the word. He's gonna tell me, instruct me, to encourage me, exhort me to read the word. But at the end of the day, I have to choose with my own volitional will to read the word. Right? Have you learned that you cannot change somebody yet? Like, how many of you have tried? Like, you've given the best speeches in the world. Like, you were, that was it. That was it. Like, you literally are like, Dr. Phil, I have your job. It's over. My advice tonight was pinnacle, top tier content. It was insane. And the next day, the person did the exact same thing that they always do. How many of you have been on the other side and you've been that guy? You're like, oh, it's so true. I do. I need to agree with God. I do have value. So good. Oh, God, I have value. This is amazing. Next day, I suck. Right? How many of you have had these moments in your life? They're so real. They're so raw, right? You have to choose. You have to choose. All right, so let's keep going. So let's look. How can we cooperate with God? So if we want to move towards a culture of surrender in our life, ultimately what we want to do is we want to look like Jesus, which he lived a lifestyle of hearing and obeying God. Meaning, so that means when we go to the word, we're hearing and then obeying God. When we're sitting under the teaching of the word, we're hearing and obeying God. When we're in prayer and God is through the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we're hearing and obeying God. But there's a couple little things that sometimes stand in the way. And I think my dad, Brian Brent, he wrote this, and he said there's four phases that you need to kind of go through to get there. And the first stage is rebellion. So that's like anti-surrender. It's like, no, I will not follow you, God. I think a lot of us can relate to being there. I think even a lot of us in some ways say we follow God at times, but truthfully, if we had the Holy Spirit lie detector test and I read your thoughts, you'd be like, no, I'm not going to follow you, God. But I'm scared of something bad happening to me, so I say I love you. That's something like, I love the wows. Number two, right, is when you're entitled, or maybe it's the exception-filled life, right? It's the Christian who's made his own deal for God, with God. Well, God loves me a ton, and this is all over. Huge influencers that we say are Christian, which I believe, but they're also just living massively like exceptions to Scripture. It's totally great to follow Jesus and get hammered on the weekends. Woo! Bro, you can't drink. It's okay. God hasn't convicted me. I feel like it's totally fine. He's sending me into these environments as a light. You're like, no, you're an exception. You're entitled and you're in rebellion. That was so intense. Let me look at the camera and say that again for the live stream. Right? I feel like I was punishing somebody. I'm sorry, right? But it's true. Or what about the people you're like, I will not. I remember one time praying with someone, and forgiveness is a difficult thing, but it's an interesting thing how people can know that something is hurting them and knows the root of all their problems and still not yet give it up. It was almost 2 hours into a prayer time with someone, and they realized they need to forgive their parents. And they realized that all the misery in their life was because they would not forgive their parents. And they had realized that the bitterness had soured every single area of their life. And I go, okay, are you ready to forgive your parents? And they go, no, I do not want to forgive my parents. Even though they knew it was hurting them. We all do things like this all the time. We all hold on to habits all the time. We all make little concessions. Oh, it's okay to watch this. It's okay to talk this way. This isn't really gossip. I'm just trying to process. We do all these little things all the time in our life, but there has to be a moment where you decide that the Holy Spirit has full access and reign to address every single area of your life. Have you ever had a moment where you're like, okay, Lord, enough upgrades? That was a strong, quick yes. Thank you. Right? That moment where you're like, God, how much more do you want from me? He's like, I want everything. Oh, that's right. Dang it. You want everything. That's right. Right, Lord, when am I going to graduate? You're never going to graduate. I'm always going to be forming you and drawing you to look more and more like my son. Then the next phase, my dad would call overcoming. You're not perfect yet, but you have declared war on those areas of your life that you are surrendering. Maybe you have a real fear issue in your life. You have a lot of fear of man, but you have declared war on that fear of man. And you have 5 good days and you have 2 bad days, but on that next day, you get up and you go, I'm declaring war again. Right? It's like that guy who's just trying to get in shape and he works out for 2 days and he's so sore, doesn't want to go back to the gym. He's wobbling around his house. This is an autobiography. He's wobbling around his house and he's like, I do not want to go back to the gym, but then makes that decision, I'm going to go back to the gym. Right? We all got to, sorry. Come on, Nick. Yeah, that's right. Get those gains, Nick. It's OC, man. Respect the culture. All right, hearing. And then number 4 is hearing obeying God. In kind of charismatic language, it's like being in the flow. It's just those moments like you feel like you're in the slipstream. Just like you're just walking with God. It's just like when he says stuff, like you're interruptible. He can borrow your time. He can stop you. You're willing to stop and talk to that person. All of a sudden, an amazing conversation. And you're sensitive to ask questions to those around you. And you just have this general awareness that God is near and that life is an adventure and you don't know what he's going to do next, but you're living with expectation of what he's going to do next. So that's how Jesus is living, and that's where we want to be. We want to have that kind of like, Jesus, what are you saying? The Jesuits, this old school church father group, they're still around today, but that was my Gen Z interpretation. They had this phrase and they called it one leg up. And they wanted to live in this culture that whenever God would say, they would immediately be able to step into what God is saying. God, go talk to that person. Yes. Hey, I want you to come out and go for a walk. I want to talk to you. I'm coming. Let's go. Hey, get up a little early. I want to talk to you in the scriptures. I'm there. Hey, I want you to go be a missionary to another nation. Whoa. Let's do it. It's that one, right? It's that one leg up that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to follow Jesus. Send me wherever you have. That's where we want to go. So I'm going to do a little Holy Spirit doctor for a moment. I'm going to do a little spiritual WebMD for a moment. I'm going to maybe help you identify which of these categories you fall in. Do you mind? Is that okay? So here are some symptoms if you're kind of stuck in a state of rebellion. I don't know any way nice to say. A way of saying no to God. Didn't do any better. All right. Number one, your life is in a continual pattern of confusion. Should we just end right there? You're like, all right. Where I need the altar call. God, you know, it's like, right? Just you go from moment to moment. You never really know what God is saying to you. You're not really sure what he wants from you. You're never really sure if you're doing good. You're never really sure what's happening. You're just kind of generally confused. You're always got that one prophetic buddy that you want to pray for you. Like, tell me what God is doing in my life. And you, right? You use like the verse of the day, like a fortune cookie. You know what I'm saying? Like you open it up and you're like, whoa, this is crazy. Jesus wept. That's so good. Like, I need inner healing. That's so good, God. Like, no, that's not. Okay, never mind. It's probably true. Just go with it, bro. But, you know, it's like that state of kind of just going from I'm not really sure what's going on. That would be one thing. Number two is you're always looking for the next thing, but it seems like the next thing's never coming. And it's because God already gave you instruction that you've disregarded. Right? Jesus is so nice. He's like the nicest teacher in the world. He'll let you take the test over and over and over again. And some of us, like, we're like playing a game. You know, like those maze rooms? What are they called? Escape rooms? You're like, how do I get to the next level in God? And God's like, just push the button. You're like, how do I get to the next level in God?
Excuse me, push the button.
Whoa, how do I get to my next level in God? Push. Sorry. Push. Push the button, dear child. You know, it's like, yeah. It's that moment where he's like, dude, push the button. I told you to go to church and join a small group. Where am I, God? You've left me. You're like, no, he just wants you to join a small group. He's waiting in the small group. Do you see what I'm saying? He's right there. He's like, yo, you made it, right? And some of us, I'll speak for myself, I have spent years in those escape rooms decoding things that aren't even codes. God, whoa, I think God's like taking me into a season right now of like wonder and waiting. You know what I mean? Just, I need to wonder at the waiting and just look up and know that he is God and be still. And the Lord's like, no, you need to learn about discipline. No, man, I just, I was at Daydream Coffee and I was daydreaming with God. And I looked at a cloud and it looked like a dove. And I knew. And the Lord's like, no, the Lord's like, get up and go for a run. That will teach you more about discipline. All right, next thing. You ignore repeated counsel from credible sources. Basically, you avoid leaders like flies. You're like, oh, no, 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 no. And you go to your other buddy whose life is just as jacked up as yours and get advice from. Hey, man, you know, this relationship's pretty tough. I know yours is pretty tough, too, right? Yeah, it is? Okay. So good, man. How do you think I should work this relationship problem out? Oh, you yell. That's good. I've never tried that. I'll implement that next time. Okay, that's good. No, it's like, no, stop. Listen to someone who knows what they're talking about. Right? You should never take advice from someone that you don't want to become. We're going to take an offering now. Right? The answer is right there in that mature leader, but you just don't want to humble yourself and go, watch this. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Like, this is for sure convicting to everybody. It got so quiet. Hey, Mom, I don't know how to spend my money right. Can you help me? You know, like, whatever it is, right? It's way too quiet. I'm so sorry. It's somebody else, for sure. It's somebody else. Call somebody else. Call Bob again. He has the answers. All right, okay, so number four, minimal application of truth. Sometimes the people who are most excited are the people who never apply truth. They got journals. I'm talking captain's logs of the revelation of God. And they can tell you it, but they don't live any of it. Life is about risk, man. It's good, man. It's good. I made an acronym for risk. R stands for righteousness. I stands for intercession. S stands for storming. As in storming the hill. And K stands for killing it. Risk. You know, it's like, whoa, bro, that's amazing insight. When's the last time you took any risk? No, I'm more of a theologian, man. No, you need to live your teaching. Look at your neighbor and say, are you surrendered? Okay, can we keep going? How many of you, let's be honest, let's just have a little fun tonight. Let's have a little fun tonight. How many of you related with that a little too much? Just go ahead and raise your hand. It's okay. I'm taking notes on who you are, but that's okay. Someone's taking Instagrams of you while you raise your hand. I'm posting all of them tonight. These people are rebellious. Can you pan the camera? Let's raise hands again. Can we pan the camera? Okay, here are some characteristics of the life that lives as an exception. They have a strong and sudden refusal when certain areas of life change are brought up. Right? I'll give personal testimony to help you through this moment. I had a particular resistance to working out with doing CrossFit in specifically, I don't know what about CrossFit, scared me. There's push-ups, there's bands, and everyone's buff and just is like, yeah. And I can't even do one pull-up. I need like eight, you know, if you go, they give you, it's horrible. They give you all these rubber bands to help you lift yourself up. And I'll be next to somebody, there's like one arm, just like, yeah, this is the pump is good today. I'm over like 17 bands, like, ugh. You know, everyone else is like talking, networking after the class. I'm laying on the ground wondering if God is going to take me in that moment. And so when my friends would go, yo, man, let's go work out together. No, 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 that's not what I do. I'm not really a workout guy. More of a runner. You know, you just make up another, you never do it. Be like, yeah, I just run by myself. I'm more like solitude time. You know what I'm talking about? Or the guy, goodness, someone's about to get delivered and married tonight in the name of Jesus, is that guy who's been talking about this girl for like 6 months. They every night, I mean, it's like texting constantly. Oh, wow, they're on a live stream together now. Oh, man, they're getting boba together. And you're like, buddy. Yeah, boba, all right, it's cool. And you're like, hey, bro, ask that girl out. No, 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 man. No, 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 no. You're like, bro, whoa, whoa. I just, your voice changed, bro. I don't know. Is that spirit? Legion, come out. You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm afraid. Right? It's like a notch a little more serious. Right? You ever have a person, they come and like give you some feedback about how you roll? Hey, bro, you kind of talk over me every time we hang out. And like the lawyer comes up. Prove it. Name one time that you've done that. And then literally the person starts going to tell you the story. And then you literally do it to them in that moment. No, 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 no. That doesn't count. I repented of that to God, just not to you. You're like, Just say you're sorry. I love you. Like, right? There's all these little areas where we do this to God all the time. He's like, hey, I need you to trust me with your future. No, 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 no. I'm a science major. I only believe in science. You know, it's like, you need to, you know, you're like, that's awesome. Believe in science, but also let God lead your life. You know what I mean? God, haven't you got it yet? Like, Christianity is a faith walk. It's not like life coaching where he's like, all right, the next 5 weeks, we're going to develop in your soul a sense of greater love and compassion. After that, we're going to reach a pinnacle moment where you're going to decide that life is about others. In that moment, you're going to be looking at the ocean and the sunset will be coming down and a waft of TK Burger will come across your face. And you will realize in that moment that you want to raise up sustainable ecosystems and farms around the world to feed people. God's just not going to tell you that. God's just going to say, hey, come spend time with me. Hey, go over there and talk to that person. Hey, say you're sorry. What about this? Don't you love? I love when God talks to me. I hate when God talks to me through my friend. We're not ready for this. Right? Isn't it funny how God will put that person in your life that you don't want to learn from? They're there. They're in here right now, probably. Right? You're just like, not you. Anybody but you. Right? Like, Lord, send anybody but this guy. And then all of a sudden, you avoid this person for a year and boom, your roommate somehow. You're like, how did this happen? Right? And there you come. You feel it. The speech, the late night speech. Because that's where spiritual growth happens, in your teens and your 20s, after 11 p.m. Right? That's when everything gets spiritual. Hey, man, I was reading the Bible. Like, why don't we ever talk about it in the morning? I don't know. Something about the darkness. You're like, whoa! Dude, let's get back to Monday night ASAP. You need some greenhouse. So, right? God is going to send those people in your life that are going to bring you upgrades. What about God bringing an upgrade in your life from an unsaved coworker? Hey, you kind of have a lack of confidence in work. What's up with that? Whoa, I got tons of confidence. No, see, God is going to speak to you through every which way. God's going to even speak to you at times through your quote-unquote enemies. God's going to even speak to you through other people's criticism at times. God is going to speak through people who are going to say it in the wrong way but still be right at the end of the day. And there has to be this attitude in your life to move from that exception-filled living, that overcoming and hearing, obeying of just hunger for God in whatever way he would teach you. Is that looking for Jesus? Oh, if I could just grow to be more like Jesus, I'm ready to rock. Coworker, I'm ready to rock. Roommate, I'm ready to rock. Mom and dad, I'm ready to rock. Pastor, I'm ready to rock. Best friend, I'm ready to rock. My friend who is struggling with the same thing I am but is carrying the breakthrough talk for me tonight, I'm ready to rock. So there's something in you that's got to be, I am open to change. And you got to realize that your areas of resistance are probably the areas where God is pressing the most into. The areas that you resist the most, the areas where you're like, no, is exactly where Jesus is wanting to have breakthrough in your life. I'll just do a couple more and we'll land the plane. Is this okay? Oh, man. Here are some traits. Last few things. I think this is really helpful for those who live as exceptions. They live constantly searching for ways or people to reinforce their negative behaviors and beliefs. You can find, dude, today, if you want to live a sinful life, you will find someone on TikTok saying they love Jesus and doing that sin. It's just real. I'm sorry. It's real. It's false teaching. It's not going to lead you to life. They're nowhere near abundant life. But if you live with exception, you'll find someone to confirm it. Number two, do you have a sense of hardening in your heart? Things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. You used to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but now you never feel him anymore. Could be a sign that you're living in areas of exceptions. Number three, are you prone to isolation and independence? Do you resist being in community? Do you love being in the big group setting? Because it's kind of a form of still being by yourself, but you resist that closer friendship where people are really looking into your life and checking on to see if you're growing. That could be a sign that you're operating in exceptionism. Or lastly, willingness to let others take the blame for our shortcoming. Right? Isn't that the worst? I do that all the time. God wants to grow me, but I say it's my environment is the reason why. When most of the negative things that happen in our life, there's one author and one author only, it's myself. Isn't that true? See, if these areas are true in your life, I'm gonna tell you right now, you're about to get excited because we're about to get free. Can I teach you the four R's really quick? Yes. Everybody say the four R's. Four R's. I'm gonna teach you how we at Circuit Riders, we just like to operate in simplicity. Who's all about simplicity? Jesus was all about simplicity. He even said, pray short prayers. Go in your closet and pray. Everybody say simplicity. Simplicity. Right? Sometimes more complexity is not more spiritual. Sometimes the most spiritual thing, which we will do tonight, is not for the band to come up and for all of us to pray out loud, maybe with all the lights on. Right? Because really being spiritual is about becoming more like Jesus. Not an emotional response. That was for somebody. All right. Number one, the first R is repentance. Everyone say repentance. Repentance. Right? In simplicity, repentance means you're going this way and now you're going this way. It's a 180 turn. So I'm not surrendering my life to Christ. I'm living in areas of rebellion. I'm doing drugs. I'm smoking vapes. I love 420. I can't wait for the bar this weekend. I mess around with my girlfriend. Well, we intend to get married. It's okay. I mess with self-hatred. I mess with negative thoughts about myself. I don't take the words of Scripture serious. I don't do any spiritual practice. That's all areas of rebellion. Right? Is that an exhaustive list? We could go more. Bitterness with all your friends, anger about your friends, ranting about your friends, gossiping about your friends, trolling and bullying people online, right? Avoiding conversations you should have. The list goes on and on and on and on in ways. We're very creative how we sin, especially in California. We're leading in the nations of the world. Okay, so, and so that's that moment where you go, I don't want this anymore. I want Jesus's truth instead. I don't want to dishonor my girlfriend. I want to honor the Lord and therefore honor my girlfriend. I don't want to speak negatively about people. I want to see people like God sees them and loves them like he loves them. That's repentance. It's the declaration of war on sin and the running of the other direction. So the first thing is we just repent. We just take it to Jesus right then and there and deal with it. You don't need special music. You don't even need to feel like it. It's just an exchange right there with God. Right? If you only apologize to people in your life when you're swept up into the most insane emotion, it's usually when things are at a breaking point. Right? Like, I'm so sorry. Right? You think you're about to break up. Right? Like, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. You know, it's like, no, we want to live that life of quick repentance, keeping short accounts, joyfully going, oh Jesus, I was walking the wrong direction for 20 minutes today. I'm turning around and I'm walking towards your way. Let's do this thing, right? Because it's more dynamic than that. You can sin the same sins like 10 times in a day. It's not just an altar call. It's a continual lifestyle going, nope, I'm turning. I'm walking to Jesus. That's repentance. Everyone say repentance. Amen. Number two, everyone say receive. The second step is you got to receive God's forgiveness. We're not walking around with penance. We're not walking around earning our way back to God. We're not having to show our track record to prove that God loves us anymore. No, we receive his forgiveness. We forgive ourselves and we move forward, right? It's David is the model, right? He sins, he has an affair, he murders somebody. And in a moment he goes, he mourns, he repents, he gets up like it never happens and he keeps leading and is the king of Israel. That is the scandal of grace, but that is repentance and that is receiving God right there. Boom, white as snow, brand new, like it never happened. I forgot about it. It's like going back to Jesus and say, hey, I'm so sorry that I did that last night. He's like, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. You already repented of that this morning. We're good. Move forward. Walk in the new direction. Receive. Number three, everyone say rebuke. Right? We know that we have an enemy. right? We do not live in a purely physical reality. There's a spiritual realm. The whole scripture has this overarching narrative, a spiritual war over each of our life, and the enemy, Satan, and his demons, right? We don't like saying those words out loud. We like saying like the dark forces, Narnia. We like saying other Lord of the Rings, orcs are after you. No, there's demons, they're real. And they want to steal, kill, and destroy. The scriptures already told us that. And we want to say, you have no more right in my life. I'm not listening to you, right? It's that resist the devil and he will flee. It's I'm resisting, I'm done, and I'm walking the other way. You don't need to be afraid of the enemy. Just so you know, we talked about this last week. Right there, you have the authority of Christ, and he's got to go. The devil and Jesus are not equals. The devil is a created being. Jesus is God. It's like a gnat compared to King Kong. Boom, done, move on. Stand in your authority, rebuke the enemy, and don't be like, the devil's in my room. He's not in your room. Jesus is in your room. Turn your heart from your fear to Jesus. He's there with you. And lastly, it's replace. Replace. Everyone say replace. Replace. It's going, Lord, okay, I'm not just going to pray it. I'm not just going to say it. It's not going to be a quasi-altar call in my life. I'm making it lifestyle. That means I'm going to volitionally give you trust of this area and surrender to you. It means that when you teach me how to be more like you, I'm going to literally implement that into my life, and that takes effort. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to take effort. Are you ready for effort? Did you know reading your Bible takes effort? Did you know coming to the greenhouse takes effort? Did you know Monday nights takes effort? Did you know that having really great conversations and making really amazing Christ-like friends takes effort? Everything Jesus is going to invite you to do is going to require effort. It's not an abstract spiritual experience. It's also a very real and practical one, which will involve gas and cars or bikes or scooters or walking. So here are some areas that we want to go full bore surrender tonight. Can we? Number one. Our time. Every area where God is asking for your time tonight, you got to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Number two, your comforts. There are areas, there are ways that we say, God, I will not engage unless you guarantee this, this, and this. You got to get rid of this, this, and this, and it's got to be, I'm ready to rock. God, I'm ready to roll. Let's do this thing. Lord, I don't want to go unless you give me a sign. Get rid of that. He already gave you a sign. It's called the Bible. Do it, follow it, roll with it. It's called the resurrection, Jesus. Number three, give up your appearance. So strong in California, look away, act away, be the man, be the cool, be the Instagram pose, be the TikTok dance, be the Twitter pose, be the Facebook, don't be the Facebook actually. Right? Be all these different things, and you need to get rid of that and quit living for the approval of men and live before the audience of one. That's why we got guys down here just letting loose. They don't give a rip about you in this moment. They're just dancing for Jesus. They're connecting with him. Get rid of your appearance. Well, God, this person's going to think I'm weird if I talk about Jesus. You don't know that. You're not God. You can't read their thoughts. They probably really need this right now. Get off of your appearance and go with God. Because I'll tell you, if Jesus was here in this room, we'd all want to roll with him. So the Spirit is Jesus telling you what to do so you can roll with Jesus in circumstances. Number four, you got to give up personal attention and recognition. You got to do things for God when there's no benefit to yourself. Right? Like, I love leading. Okay, but what about your private life? What about integrity when no one's watching? Right? You got to give up like living for God when others are around or in Christian settings and living for God when no one's looking and no one knows that you're going to do that behind your work. God knows. And that's the whole point, following him. Your money. Some of you got to trust God with your money. Man, I'm in a season right now trusting God with my money. Any other circuit riders need to trust the Lord a little bit more with provision? It's like five. The rest of you, please come talk to me. Show me your ways. All right, number six, service. Some of you go, I don't want to serve God because I'm not good at that. But how can you ever get good at it if you don't start? Like, God told me to be a minister, a pastor one day. God told me to speak in front of people one day. All right, so how are you moving forward with that? I don't know, I'm just waiting for God. Wrong. Serve. That's how you get there. Stack a chair. Show up to a training. Go meet some other people. Volunteer for a youth group. Feed some homeless people. Volunteer for Campus Crusade. Volunteer for InterVarsity. Volunteer for Young Life. Go join Athletes in Action. Do something and serve. Number seven. Number eight. How about this? Energy and stamina. How many of you go, I'm too tired to do this? You just got to get rid of it. I'm too tired. And Jesus is asking, God, you're going to sustain me. I know it's seven. I like getting up at nine, but it's seven today. Let's go. Let's get the cold brew rumbling and just get in the word. Number nine, some of us are demanding we only will listen to those that have perfection in our mind. You got to give up that right, surrender to Jesus, and say, Lord, I'm ready for anyone to be my teacher. Number 10, selective obedience. God, I will follow you in this way, but I will not follow you in this way. I'm more of a worship and prayer guy. I'm not really an evangelism guy. Selective obedience. I'm more of an evangelism guy, but I'm not really a worship and prayer guy. That's the house of prayer calling. Selective obedience. I'm not really a discipleship guy. I'm more of an evangelism guy. Selective obedience. I don't really care about the marketplace. I only care about the church. Selective obedience. Do you see what I'm saying? You got what Jesus cares about, you got to care about at the least. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, I'm getting too crazy. Let's land it. I think this is the strongest one. Emotions. I feel. That is like the tagline of millennial and Gen Z. I know, like, I got roasted. I told you last week for being a millennial by all these Gen Z people. But there are things that we are very the same in. And one of them is the value of our feelings. But I don't feel like that, God. I can't tell you how many times I go, God loves you so much, but I don't feel like it. You have so much talent, I don't feel like it. You have a great future, I don't feel like it. You're forgiven, I don't feel like it. Okay, you should go to church, I don't feel like it. You should listen to worship music, I don't feel like it. And really, your God is your feelings. Because as the ultimate say, it's like, just think of like a little idol. Like whatever it's telling you to do, your feelings like, be sad, be emo boy today. Okay, emo boy mode. Like he knows things. Wow, Gen Z terminology, it's amazing. Right, no, right? Guys, emo was way back in the day. When guys were wearing like girl jeans from Hot Topics. I don't even know what that is, but, right? It's all been around, just reinvented every generation, so. Right? It's all the same thing. Feeling, feeling, feeling. There's a moment where God's got to go, dude, you got to follow by faith and not your feelings. You got to retire your feelings. You got to let me lead your life. And I don't feel like you have so much clarity. I'm going to end with this verse. This is just so good right here. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a feeling within a man that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. I think tonight, more than anything, we got to be ready to roll with Jesus, whether we feel like it or not. That's how you grow. See, tonight, the call is to be activated to become a disciple of Christ. Not just a believer of Christ, but a follower of Christ, a discipler. Jesus, I'm ready to become more like you today, not just learn more about you. Can we all stand together? We're gonna pray together for a moment out loud. The band can come up. We're gonna go into a little bit of worship for maybe 5 minutes. We don't have much time, went over time tonight, but we had to drill this first round in because we had to go into the 4 hours. We're all going to pray after me now. We're going to pray some simple elementary school prayers, but we're all going to be feeling a lot better in a couple minutes. Can we do it together? I'm going to take you through the 4 R's. Here we go. Ready? You're like, where's the synths? I'm nervous. Come on, Junior, hurry up. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Here we go. Ready? We're all going to pray out loud. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I repent.
I repent.
For any way.
I've had rebellion.
I've had entitlements.
I'm not one to follow you. I've had exceptions.
Forgive me for my excuses. I turn to you.
And I declare.
Come on, I want to hear it. I declare.
I want to follow you.
Jesus.
I want to live the surrendered life.
I invite you
to input,
disciple,
teach,
train,
rebuke
any area of my life.
Nothing is off limits.
But I'm not going to have condemnation.
I receive your forgiveness right now.
All my rebellion,
all my resistance
is washed by the blood.
You ready to rebuke?
So I rebuke.
Come on, we're rebuking something. I rebuke.
Come on, we're rebuking something. I rebuke
the lie
of rebellion.
Of resistance.
Enemy.
Get out of my life.
Get out of my life.
I'm not listening to you.
You're a liar.
You're,
you're an accuser.
And I'm done with you.
I declare.
I love Jesus.
I want to be like Jesus.
I want to follow Jesus.
I like my Bible.
I like to pray.
I like to grow.
I like humility.
I want to learn.
I want to grow.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Circuit Rider Podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at crmovement.com. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or to see what's happening across the nation, follow us at CR Movement on Instagram. We'll see you on the road.